from WBUR Boston and NPR. I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
Prince Johnny, you're kind, but you're not simple. By now, I think I know the difference. You want to be a son, someone.
She goes by St. Vincent, real name, Annie Clark. Real impact, big right now in the indie, alt-rock, alt-pop world. St. Vincent is hot, smart music, beautiful, surreal, a little shamanistic maybe, with great hooks. This hour on Point, out with a new album, St. Vincent is in our studio. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Do you know St. Vincent? What do you find in her sound? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at OnPoint Radio. Joining me now in the studio is St. Vincent, Annie Clark. Oklahoma-born, Dallas-raised, jumped in as a guitarist for the Polyphonic Spree and Sufjan Stevens, went solo in 2007 with the album Marry Me. Her latest LP, her fourth, not counting a collaboration with David Byrne of Talking Heads, is out this week on the major label imprint Loma Vista. It's called St. Vincent, and she's on tour as well, Washington, New York, Nashville, Atlanta, Omaha, at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, and tonight in Boston. Annie Clark, St. Vincent, welcome to On Point. It's great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
You had your sort of American coming out party for the album last night in New York. How did it go?
I did. It went really well. It was a little bit funny because Prince came, and I didn't know that he was going to be there, and he was sitting just stage right, just in a little balcony, kind of tucked away behind some curtains, and about halfway through the set, I looked up and I went,
"Hey,
I think that's Prince."
That's pretty good audience. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you know what you've got in an album before you hit the live audience, or is that the tell when you feel something come back from whoever's in the hall?
Well, I think ultimately the place for music to live is live. I mean, I record these songs, and they're almost like theories that have yet to be proven. And going out on the road and then putting them in this context with lights and visual and dance in this kind of whole experience, I think just brings them to life all the more, even than on the record.
What are you pushing for from the audience? Do you feel something changing? Are you looking for something different each time you come out? This is your fourth album. Are you thinking, you know, I'm reading the world and I want to read it back to my audience, or I'm telling them something and here it is?
Well, I think the job of an artist is to take everything you see in the world and then just spit it back out through your own specific lens. And so it's really fun every night to play music, which is essentially, I mean, I guess if you were to think about it, it's like making a castle out of the ether. I mean, it's very... Mm-hmm. It's very effervescent and ephemeral. And so I feel very lucky to get to do what I do and bring it to people every night.
We heard Prince Johnny coming in here. I want to go to Rattlesnake. It's the first track on your new album. It's got a great backstory with it. This is from St. Vincent's fourth album, self-titled St. Vincent, kind of an origin story, Rattlesnake. Make it catchy, and it's a kind of desert visions story at the same time. You throwing off your clothes somewhere, I don't know, in West Texas and walking through the desert and just doing that little, I don't know, was it a shaman thing? And then the rattlesnake shows up and sends you running back for real life.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. This song is a true story, and some songs are funny because you have to kind of go to the far reaches of your imagination in order to come up with source material. And then in other instances, all you have to do is factually report your life. And then this was a freebie from the universe because everything in this story happened, and I just had to write it down and put a beat behind it.
A beat behind what the dream of a little Eden in Texas desert naked, interrupted by the Rattler.
Exactly. I ran back to that, back to the ranch house and had a little shot of tequila, and I thought, whew, close call.
You could have been Annie Clark doing all this. You're St. Vincent instead. I read somewhere that you took that one reference. There is Dylan Thomas's death place, St. Vincent Hospital. Was it in New York? Where'd you come up with the idea of being St. Anybody, and why St. Vincent?
Well, I was actually listening to a Nick Cave song called There She Goes, My Beautiful World. And in it, he sings, and Dylan Thomas died drunk at St. Vincent's Hospital. Mm-hmm. And the song is so excellent. Nick Cave is one of my favorite writers.
Love him.
He's totally literary and beautiful. And the song really encapsulates this grandeur and squalor that it is, I think, to be human. And, you know, if you want to go a step further, you know, the grandeur and squalor of being a creative person or trying to be a poet or whatever. And I was just really inspired by that song, and I thought the name was quite beautiful.
Does it help, or in sales, in life, in your sense of your artistic endeavor, to have this alter ego, or anyway, stage name to play with?
Well, in some ways, I think it's nice to create a psychic space where you can be creative. Another very practical reason was that there's already an Anne Clark, who's a German experimental musician, and then there was an Australian fitness model named Annie Clark. So I didn't want to be
But you could have
confused.
Been Bobby Breeze, or I don't know what. St. Vincent has got a certain talk about grandeur, and I don't know about squalor, but maybe, I mean, the actual St. Vincent, I don't know if you've ever looked at this, was this patron saint of Lisbon or something, put on a gridiron and tortured, turned his captor to a Christian way back in the day. I don't know if you read back into any of that.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, well, the history's littered with with barbarisms.
It's a great story. It left Stephen Colbert calling you Vinny for, I think, the balance of most of his show the other night. The new album is St. Vincent, self-titled. One of the first singles from her latest album is called Birth in Reverse. Here it is.
Like a birth in reverse, what I saw through the blinds. You could say that I'm sane in the long.
Birth in Reverse in America on the Cosmic Eternity Party Line, with all that poppy sound to it. I mean, you're famous for being way out there in the lyrics and the ideas, and just as sweet and poppy hooks as you can find anywhere. Is that all flow naturally for you? Are you saying, how can I sell this cosmic stuff?
No, believe it or not, I'm never thinking about numbers and moving units or anything. It just comes out pretty naturally. I mean, I am a student of pop music. I love pop music. I love all music. Mm. And what's interesting to me as a challenge is how to take something that's left field and put it with something that's quite accessible and see if those two things can coexist and feel new.
We hear it right there. It gives you a lot of range. I mean, it must be fun. It must be liberating to have that capacity to bring that poppy hook in there, because you can wrap it around the most arcane or subtle or sophisticated or out there argument or insight, and people will listen, even dance to it.
Well, yeah, I've said before that I wanted to make a party record you could play at a funeral. And I think there, again, you know, this duality of human existence, you know, like I wanted it to have the kind of groove that people could dance to, because that's so communal and exciting, but then I also wanted it to have the pathos and the empathy and all the kind of grit and gristle of humanity as well.
Prince was there last night. Do I hear a little homage to Prince even in this song?
Oh, I'm winking at Prince left and right on this record. Yeah. I wouldn't say on this song as much. I'm kind of like, this end, I didn't realize it till afterward, but it always kind of reminded me of early Yes.
Oh, right here. Definitely, yeah. Definitely. Now you're taking me like 30 years back,
yeah,
or more. But yes, yes, it's a Saturday night, and Yes is on, and we're way out there. We're way out there right now with Annie Clark, a.k.a. St. Vincent. She is with us in the studio. Her new album is St. Vincent. You can join us in this hour. Do you know this artist? Are you a fan, super fan, new to her sound? What do you think? Is this the sound of now, your sound of now? And what's St. Vincent getting at in our time, getting at in you? We're at 800-423-8255. It's 800-423-TALK. Here's Every Tear Disappears from her new album, St. Vincent. She's on tour, maybe coming near you today in Boston. And on she goes. 800-423-8255 is our number. I'm Tom Ashbrook with St. Vincent. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. We're talking this hour with alt-rock star, sensation, hot artist right now, St. Vincent. That is Annie Clark with me in the studio behind us right here. Cheerleader from her 2011 Strange Mercy album. Her new album is St. Vincent, self-titled, just out. She's on it. She's on tour. She's with us today, and you can join us. What do you hear in St. Vincent's new album? Can you see why, how Annie Clark takes on the St. Vincent title alter ego to make her art? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Annie Clark, St. Vincent, is with us in the studio. Nancy's calling from Hendersonville, Tennessee. Nancy, you're on with St. Vincent. Annie Clark, thanks for calling, Nancy.
Hi, Tom. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just want to give props to the woman who handles your callers. She's fantastic.
Good.
Really like your show, Tom. St. Vincent, you're adorable and precious and have the greatest hair ever. And I saw you last year at Ravinia in Chicago with David Byrne. Fantastic, fantastic concert.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I appreciated your comment about David Byrne being, you know, the soundtrack of our lives, and it made me cry. That really touched me. And you guys are great together, and you're great all on your own. I love the song Cheerleader, and I just wanted to tell you I'm a big, big fan, and keep up the great work. Your creative dichotomies, just the words that come to my head as what Tom's trying to describe you. It's just, you're fabulous.
Well, thank you so much.
Nancy, that's awesome. I don't know if you've kept up with the hair. I don't know what it was at Ravinia. It's kind of Albert Einstein these days. It's gone gray and big. It's very dramatic. Where are we headed here, Annie?
Well, you know, the hair
You're
originally...
a visual statement these days.
Yeah. The hair originally was a little bit of an homage to Thin White Duke era David Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone through many, many permutations at this point. And it's kind of settled into a lavender gray.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's just fantastic. And what about your cooperation with David Byrne? How did you make the connection with Byrne? And tell us about that work that Nancy heard at Ravinia near Chicago last year.
Sure. Well, first of all, Nancy, we had so much fun doing the Love This Giant tour. I mean, it was a real dream come true, you know. David and I met at an AIDS charity in New York City. It's called Housing Works, and Bjork and the Dirty Projectors were doing a night of music. They had composed about 20 minutes worth of music, and we were at the after party, and the people from Housing Works approached us and said, hey, would you like to do a similar night? Write some songs, raise some money for a good cause. And we said, yeah, well, sure, that seems like fun. And so we started writing, and we started to be really excited about what we were doing. And I suggested maybe we do it with a brass band because I thought it would work well in the little bookstore, which is where I thought
the venue,
mm-hmm. which is the only place I thought the music would be heard. but it just kept growing. And then we had enough for an album. And we said, well, if we have an album, we might as well tour. And we flash forward, we were on tour for a year with it, and we just had the best time.
Love This Giant. Here's one track from that album, David Byrne and St. Vincent, Annie Clark. This one, Who? St. Vincent and David Byrne. Kindred spirit and David Byrne, it would seem to me you guys might be.
I think so. I think the reason that the collaboration really worked is that we just trusted each other as artists. And I think that's one of the reasons why David is so forward-thinking and always hurling himself into the future, is that he doesn't approach it with an ego. I think he approached it with the sense of, well, he has something to learn from me as well. So we kind of met in the middle there, and it was a really fruitful collaboration as a result.
He and you both, I read you somewhere talking about ambivalence in life, in art, in music, in the literal sense, ambivalence, like things coming from different angles. He pulls different things together. So do you, very, very audibly here. Is that where you get the frisson, the pleasure out of it?
Well, yeah, I think in some ways we worked well together because we're kind of outsider artists. I mean, I can't read music despite the best efforts of some of my teachers.
Despite 3 years at Berklee School of Music
and
all the rest.
Yeah, despite that, you know, I just, wow. I was not a good student.
Good to know, aspiring artists who don't read music,
yeah.
You too can be St. Vincent.
You know, and, you know, we both sort of can kind of get by in the kind of classical sense and the reading and all mm-hmm. that, but we approach things, I think, kind of as outsider artists, so we met somewhere in the middle. We weren't thinking, oh, we're going to make a brass record that mm-hmm. will be a New Orleans thing or be a big band thing. We were just thinking, well, this is just a color palette, and we'll use this as the color palette.
Boy, with or without reading music, that really works. What I want to listen to a little then and now, 2009, Marry Me was your album song. Let's listen to a little bit of that. Here was 2009, Marry Me.
Marry me, John, marry me, John, I'll be so good to you. You won't realize I'm gone, you won't realize I've gone.
First of all, boy, you're bold and seem to have access to all kinds of musicians here. I mean, every time out, you've got a lot of electronic, you've got a lot of instrumentation there. You've got access to a full palette. How do you put the big bands together?
Well, it starts quite small. I spent a lot of time, for example, demoing this latest record just, you know, by myself. Mm-hmm. And because of technology and because it's
GarageBand and
GarageBand, exactly. You know, I can mock up any number of other instruments. Like that, for instance, that's how David and I wrote Love This Giant. Was we would write in Logic and send these crazy MIDI scores back to one another, and then kind of play this musical tennis and sending things back and forth. We were never in the same room to write.
Wow.
So I, you know, I use a lot of technology to write. Although I always find it's kind of a fuzzy line. You want to make sure that things have maybe the feel of humans, but the sound of machines, and make sure that you're not kind of making any musical concessions at the to the god of technology.
But when you're on stage, what kind of, I mean, this is back in 09, what about the new album? What kind of backup accompaniment do you have?
Well, I have a me plus three, so four of us on stage. Mm-hmm. We don't play to any backing tracks. Everything is played live by a human. But we are using a lot of technology. I have a really crazy pedal board situation that's where I'm making sounds that sometimes obviously sound like a guitar, and then sometimes are totally textural or sound like synthesizers. And because of that technological know-how and that flexibility, the four of us are able to do so much. I mean, I think my band in its current, if I had the same music, yeah, 10 years ago, yeah, I would have needed to hire 10 more people.
It sounds like,
yeah,
a cast of thousands.
But I have an amazing band, and everybody's kind of the master of their domain. So
let's bring it right up to date. That was Marry Me, a song where, what, it seems like St. Vincent is not in control in this relationship. Turns out she's very much in control of John in that song from 2009. From a new album, St. Vincent, this is Bring Me Your Loves. Well, compare another semi-love song, St. Vincent's Bring Me Your Loves.
I thought you were like a dog. I thought you were like a dog. That you made of heaven. So bring me your loves, how your loves, your loves, I wanna love them too, you know. Bring me your loves, how your loves, your loves, I wanna love them too, you know. Bring me your loves, how
bring me your loves. Okay, there we hear the technology coming right to work. I mean, you're acclaimed as a wonderful guitarist. But there, right at the beginning of what we heard, what, that's your voice blending in? Is your foot at work on that pedal board, bringing the synthesizer up? How does that happen?
Well, you know, there's kind of two different animals. There's the recording, which, you know, I'm thinking about what I'll do for the live show, but the live show is kind of requires a little bit more Rubik's cubing. Like, you know, in this particular song, that synth that you hear is a mini Moog,
okay,
but live I play it on guitar with a MIDI pickup.
Okay.
So
you're distorting the guitar with your MIDI pickup, and so your foot's at work doing the controlling the guitar distortion, or
no,
how's
actually
that work?
I have a system where I don't actually have to press the buttons at my feet.
Okay.
My keyboard player is
on it,
controlling the cues and different program changes and things like that, because it allows me to be a front person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just me playing guitar and singing. And if I was looking down at my feet all day doing the kind of shoegaze tap dance,
right,
you know, people would just be really bummed out,
I think by the
lack of interactive experience.
I haven't had the pleasure, but you're famously very interactive on stage. I don't know if dancing, or I think I've heard read you say throwing yourself about on stage.
Yeah, I on the last Strange Mercy tour, that was my last solo record before Love This Giant, I started stage diving, so which was very, very fun, and there's nothing like the adrenaline rush of it. But
literally onto the audience?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, I've never had such a thrill in my whole life, but
you don't strike me as an alpine skier type, but why not? I mean, off you go, ski jump, off you go.
Yeah, jump, and you're at the mercy of of friends and strangers.
And they deliver you back in time for the bar where you come back in, or the guys just, the rest of the band just keeps going until you're back.
Well, yeah, luckily, you know, it was in a very kind of punk rock heavy song, so it wasn't so much about accuracy as it was about energy.
That's terrific. That's terrific. Stage diving and off she goes. We're talking with St. Vincent. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Here from her new album, St. Vincent, is Digital Witness. Digital Witness from St. Vincent's new self-titled album. What's the point of even sleeping if I can't show it? If you can't see me, what's the point of doing anything? Something about the age in which we, tweet and Instagram and photo slam everything we do. Colin's calling from Manchester, New Hampshire. Colin, you're on the air with St. Vincent. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Hello, Miss Parker. I just wanted to say that I'm very grateful for your music and for your general existence as a human being.
Thank you.
Because it saved me from a very dark point in my life when everything seemed very hopeless. I was at the end of a tumultuous relationship and I lost most of my friends as a result and had very negative thoughts and action and intended to put those into action. And then I heard you in an interview with Jackie Lydon and NPR and your track Marrow, and that and your interview showed me that there was still joy and there was still light in the world and there was still hope in the marvelous syncretion of your music. And I was just so blown away. I heard nothing like it before. I don't think I've ever heard anything like it again. And I was happy to drive 16 hours across the country to see you in Ann Arbor and Grand Rapids on the Olympus Giant Tour.
Oh, wow.
And I'll be very happy to see you in Boston tonight as well. So, and just thank you for making so much of a difference in my life, even if you really didn't intend to, obviously. That'd be solipsistic of me to say so. But
no, I'm so glad. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're doing better, too. And if the music had a part in that, I'm incredibly grateful to hear. I know what you mean. I mean, music has saved my life many times. It's just the most powerful thing, and I feel incredibly lucky to get to do it and to, you know, have that kind of connection with fans like you. So I'm glad you're doing better, and I'll see you tonight. Yeah,
that's awesome, Cullen. That's about as big as it gets. What was it? The tone? Were you actually listening to the words? Something in the energy that kind of brought you back from the edge?
It was the diffusion of discrete musical concepts into a unified whole, while not being, you know, stultifying about it or precocious like some of the tracks on "Marry Me" were. I don't mean to be insulting, but it just Actor and Strange Mercy for me represented just a unified, centralized sort of border from chaos is so many different musical concepts and disciplines. So,
listen, Colin, we're glad it worked. We're glad you found it. We're glad it worked for you, and I really appreciate your call this hour. St. Vincent, Andy Clark, that's power. Use it well, my friend. Use it well. Use it for good. It worked for Colin in a great way. St. Vincent's new album is St. Vincent. Here's a track, Huey Newton, off the album. She joins us today in the studio. You can join us as well. What do you hear in St. Vincent's music? Her new album, 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook in the studio with St. Vincent. This is On Point. Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with St. Vincent, alt-rock star, hot, very hot right now, out with her new album, her fourth, St. Vincent. She's with me in the studio. You can join us. What's your question for Annie Clark, a.k.a. St. Vincent? A little, what, history there. Really pre-St. Vincent, I guess, in a way. This is when you dropped out of music school, Berklee School of Music. You went back to Dallas and got hooked up with the Polyphonic Spree. You're on guitar here.
I am. I haven't heard this song in a long time. It's making me very nostalgic.
Take you way back to their 2007 album, The Fragile Army. You're just a face in the crowd. More than that, you've got the guitar in hand, but not solo yet.
Not solo. You know, what was happening in my life was I was working on songs that would become Marry Me. Actually, before I joined the Polyphonic Spree, it was always my intention to be a solo artist, but I got this opportunity to play in a fun psychedelic freak show of a band that I've been a massive fan of as a teenager in Texas, and so I basically got an apprenticeship. I was on the road at 22 playing all the big European summer festivals in this rollicking Texas carnival.
It's awesome. Take us back further. I've read about you, I think, as a girl, I don't know, like 12, 13 years old, touring with your uncle and aunt, Tuck and Patty, who had a kind of a soft jazz act. I don't know if that's the right way to describe it. And you on the road with them. What did you do for them, with them? Where'd you go?
Well, I went to Japan with them. I went to, all around Europe and Russia. And I was their tour manager, which that is a very lofty title for what I actually did, which was I was just kind of the road dog. I made sure there were flowers in the dressing room. I set up the pedal board. I made sure they had towels.
I mean, you were 12 years old. You weren't driving the truck.
No, I wasn't 12. I started when I was about 15.
Okay,
15,
better still.
16,
okay,
on, you know, good. Breaks from high school. But I saw how hard they worked, and I saw that the road had its glamour, but then also its total lack of glamour and lack of sleep, and but none of that really dissuaded me from it. It's still, the music was so compelling that I was really willing to do anything to get out there and play and be on the road.
When did you know you wanted to be a solo artist? Did you know already then? Were you watching them, you know, the crowd, the roar, the grease paint? What was it that said, hey, Annie, be a solo artist?
Well, I started writing songs when I was 12. I started playing guitar then, and even when I would go in to take guitar lessons, I would come back and practice the song I had learned, you know, the stuff that was on the radio at the time, or classic rock stuff like Jethro Tull and Neil Young, and I would always get sidetracked learning the song and start writing my own thing. So, you know, I've been writing for a long time, and I always knew that I wanted to be a musician. I never had a plan B.
When did you, and you've said don't have a plan B, because if you do, you're likely to take it. When did you begin to understand what kind of musician you wanted to become?
Well, I think it's always a process of finding your voice and finding what you want to say. I've been lucky over my career to get to grow over 4 or 5 albums. And a lot of people don't get that opportunity these days. We're very quick to
pigeonhole.
Well, and not just pigeonhole, but move on to the next shiny object. And I've been lucky to get to develop as an artist and really stretch out as a performer and get to be at a place where I have so much work behind me, so many shows. I've worked out the kinks, and so now I can just be, just bring it.
I want to talk about what that feels like. Let's hear a little bit of that progression. This is Cruel from 2011. Got a lot of press in the indie world. Off her album Strange Mercy, one of the singles from that album, Cruel.
They could take or leave you, so they took you.
St. Vincent, Cruel from Strange Mercy. Ray's calling from Boston. Hi, Ray, you're on the air with St. Vincent.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Annie.
Hi, Ray.
Oh, I'm so excited. I've been totally just binging on all of your records for months.
Awesome.
Yeah, I just spent my last $30 to see you at House of Blues tonight.
Oh, no.
He's broke, but he's happy. What's your question, Ray?
Well, actually, you answered it earlier, so I was wondering instead what your biggest songwriting and guitar influence are, you know?
Oh, man, there's so many. That's a good question. You know, as far as guitar goes, in some ways I feel so precious about it as it being the sound of a guitar. But then in other ways, I just look at it like a noisemaker and feel totally irreverent about it. I would say my favorite guitar players are people like Robert Fripp. My uncle, Tuck Andrus, is so incredible. Nile Rodgers is unbelievable. People like Mark Ribot, the new guitar player, Blake Mills, he's amazing. And I hope I rattled off
enough guitar players. Is it their chemistry with the guitar or their virtuosity? What is it that draws you to a guitarist?
Well, you know, virtuosity alone isn't all that interesting to me. It's admirable, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think virtuosity must always serve very musical ends. And I'm not as drawn to just the simple athleticism of the craft. Those people all have a really diverse kind of style. And I think it's because they all sound like themselves. They're unmistakable guitar players. That's why I like them.
Yeah, yeah. Not just virtuosity, but really take it somewhere and make it your own. Chris is calling from Brookline, Massachusetts. Chris, you're on the air with Annie Clark, St. Vincent.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Good. Great.
Hi, Annie.
Hi.
Welcome back to Boston.
Thank you.
And I've become a big fan of yours in a relatively short period of time, mostly through YouTube, and I saw the Guitar Moves video podcast you did, and two things about that kind of blew me away. First is that you're Tuck Andrus's niece, because that guy is a monster.
I know, he's incredible.
He really is, and I saw him in Palo Alto, I hate to even say it, I think it was the year you were born.
Was it the Varsity Theater?
Yes.
Yeah?
And remember, cool. She's not just his niece, she was his road dog.
Yeah, it was the Varsity Theater. I used to see Michael Hedges there.
He was great.
For nothing, who sadly has passed. He was also a monster. But the other thing about that piece was that at the end of it, you were playing the solo from Kid Charlemagne, which I think was Larry Carlton. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's one of the great guitar solos of all time, and I thought, well, that really places you somewhere in the I don't know what it says about you, but about your taste, but it's something good.
Well, it says I love Steely Dan. I really do. I know every Steely Dan song frontwards and back.
I tell people, look, you know, when they talk about great guitar solos, I say, well, you know, you can of course have differences of opinion. The one thing I know is that, you know, probably 8 of the best 10 guitar solos in rock history are in Steely Dan songs. just take your pick. But people have kind of gotten into the questions that I was going to ask before. I'm a bit of a guitar player myself, so I am curious about your relationship with the guitar. But, you know, it also occurs to me that I can't go tonight because, the things we give up for our children.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
That's life. That's all right. That's all right.
Yes, but, you know, I have two daughters and a son. My daughters are 11 and 8, and it does strike me that you are, I think, an excellent role model for them. I mean, your music is fantastic. It's deeply weird, but you are not. You seem very normal. And I was just curious as to whether you see yourself or are conscious of yourself as sort of a role model for, you know, for young women and girls in a business that, you know, hasn't always been the friendliest to female artists over the years.
Chris, thanks for that. How about it, Annie?
Well, you know, I look forward to a day when we are essentially post-gender about music. I never think about music in a gendered way. I never think about my favorite male singer or my favorite female singer. Exactly. But I'm certainly very excited at the idea that, you know, the next generation of kids, girls and boys will grow up in a world that is far less close-minded about these sort of things, to where, you know, and the next generation won't even have to answer the question.
But post-gendered, I'm curious about that. You're a very sensitive artist, person. Is gender really a non-factor, or is, I mean, I always think there must be a way to handle it that fully acknowledges it, but yet doesn't make it an issue of hierarchy.
Well, you know, I get asked the question a lot about women and music, and there is something in the question that people assume a victimhood, or they assume some sort of handicap or deficit, but it says more about their own ideas about the world than mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel in some way like a little bit impervious to it. My job as an artist is to serve the art and make the best art I can possibly make. It's not necessarily to you know, sit down and handhold and educate.
As they say, rock on.
Yeah.
We're talking with St. Vincent. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Great song here off her new album, St. Vincent. I Prefer Your Love, one of the most beautiful songs on the album. I Prefer Your Love. Awesome. A little bold, very beautiful. Written, I think, about your mother, for your mother.
Yeah, this song was written for my mother.
So if anybody gets that preference, why not right there? That's pretty great. Wendy in Buffalo, New York. You're on the air with St. Vincent.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi, Annie.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I don't know that I really have a question for you, but I really, truly want to thank you for what you have given us in the listening world. I've been to your two shows. I can't wait for April 12th for you to come back to Buffalo.
Yes, Buffalo.
Buffalo. you're amazing to behold as an artist on stage. You've been the soundtrack of my life for the past 5 years. So thank you. Thank you for what you've given us. You're so interesting and intriguing, and your music is not only it's interesting, it's different. And that's something, I don't know, you provide something different for us.
Wendy, my screen tells me here that you sing St. Vincent to your babies to put them to sleep. Is this true?
Yes, I do. I have a 5-year-old daughter who was born in 2008, and as a baby, she heard a lot from Marry Me when she was going to bed. And my little boy hears a lot from your albums as well. So they're growing up with you, too. And it's great. It's great to have your albums in my house.
I'm so glad. Wendy, I really appreciate that. And it's my absolute pleasure and honor to get to make music that makes its way into your life and into other people's lives. It's really the best thing.
Wendy, thanks for your call.
Really, yeah. Thank you. I was just going to comment on the development of the albums. It's been really, really great, too. It's been really cool watching the development of your music throughout the past few years.
Well, thank you. Always the future.
On it goes. Wendy in Buffalo, thanks so much for that. Hey, you've got to be careful. You know, you start making music and pretty soon you're the soundtrack of people's lives. It's not just a song or an album.
Hey, well, you know, I mean, if I think about everything that music has given me in my life, I mean, I could actually say music has literally given me my life. I mean, we're mm-hmm. sitting here having a nice chat because music gave me so much. And so I feel that it's such a wonderful like blessing to be able to give back to music even a fraction of what it's given me.
You described your music as beautiful and surreal. One of our callers admiringly calls you deeply weird. Your music deeply weird.
Thank you.
Yes. What about the bounds of freedom you feel now? When you sit down to compose, when you sit to perform, do you feel boundaries? Do you feel wide open free? Do you have to keep some hand on some rein? How's that work?
Well, I think there are a lot of paradoxical things in terms of craft or skill. Like, I feel glad that I have a certain physical capacity so that I'm able to perform a show and not be thinking about, oh, where should my fingers be? What should my voice be singing? You know, there's that control
freedom.
That means freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But then in terms of creatively in writing, again, I just have to say I feel very lucky that, you know, I've never compromised artistically to try and call the attention of more people. I've always just tried to trust my instinct and make music that I liked and believed in, and by the transitive property, you know, if I like it, other people might like it too. So I feel very lucky that that is the way that it has turned out.
And it works. Annie Clark, St. Vincent. Her new album is St. Vincent. She's on tour in Boston tonight, later in Washington, New York, Nashville, Atlanta, Omaha, South by Southwest, and right on. Annie Clark, wonderful to have you with us. Thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We'll go out with Severed Crossed Fingers. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.